Welcome to Equippers Church Dunedin. We hope you enjoy this message recorded live at our city campus. For more information, check out equipperschurch.com.
Thank you. Hi, well, I'm Alice. If you haven't met me before, come talk to me after this and I'll say hi and bye. No, but I am Alice. This has been my home, my house, my family for the last 7 years. And it's such a privilege to be up here speaking to you all on my last service, but also just to have been a part of this community in this house. When I was preparing for this message, I got a real sense that God wants to reawaken something in us, that he wants to reawaken something in our spirits, something in our hearts about what it is to be the church, to be in the house of God, to serve him, to worship him, and to be a part of the body of Christ. In Isaiah 60:1-4, it says, "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home." In the scripture, it's a call to Jerusalem to arise and let to respond to God's glory and the light that shines in and through them. But it's also a call for us today to arise, to stand up, to respond to God's glory and the light shining in and through us, to shine the light in the world where there's so much darkness, and for us to reawaken as the church, as God has intended us to be. You know, there's a world out there that is dark. People are living in darkness, there's darkness in them, but we are the light. You know, we need to reawaken to bring light into those dark places. You know, there's generations coming after us. We need to reawaken to prepare the way for them. You know, I stand here on the legacy of my parents and my grandparents before me. But I also stand here making a way for the generations that are going to come after me. You know, there's a movement that is coming through that is rising up in our young people. And I know Leah's excited about it. I'm excited about it. But it's this generation, these young people who we need to rise up and reawaken for. God is calling us to arise. But it starts first, I think, one, within us, but also in being here in the house and in valuing the house and building the house. You know, to reach the world out there, we need to be a strong church, a strong people collectively together. We are the united people of God. Collectively, we are the body of Christ. And as one together, we are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So how do we reawaken? It's probably the question you're asking. We are in a re-series, and Pastor didn't ask me to specifically speak on anything to do with re, but I kind of, I don't know, it came to me. And so he said this morning, I don't know if anyone guessed how many re-words were in your sermon, but I think I counted like 7 or 8. Yep, great. Well, I've got a few in here as well, so excuse the, I don't know, it's not a pun or anything, but the repeat. But number one, to reawaken is to recommit to community. 1 Corinthians 12:12-14 says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." You know, it's in Christ that we are made one with each other. We're all united in our diversity and the different things that have been placed in us, but we are made one as we come under Christ. I love I love this image of the body because I think it's like really simple. You know, we've all got bodies, got different limbs and parts and things. I'm not an anatomy person, but I know that there's different parts of the body. And so I love this image because I think it's one that we can grasp on quite easily. You know, we see, okay, the hand's connected to the wrist that's connected. Oh gosh, there's a Miley Cyrus song about this, but Hannah Montana, I won't sing it. But, you know, we can see how the different parts all connect together. And it's the same in the body of Christ. We are all different parts. You know, the scripture in 1 Corinthians goes on and it talks a bit further if you read it. But it's kind of got like this little dialogue between parts of the bodies, and it's like the foot's like, oh, I'm not really, like, I'm not a hand, so I'm not like worth being in it. Or the eye gets a little bit mean and it's like, nah, we don't need you, hand. But actually, if there's not all the parts, we all miss out. We all suffer if we're not part of it. And so in reawakening and rising up, it's a call for us to come back in and be a part of the body of Christ. You know, we are the body of Christ. It's actually not really like an option. I don't know if you knew that, but in being believers of Christ, we are the body of Christ. So let's reawaken as a community of people to be on fire for God, to connect with others, and to have our foundation built in the house of the Lord. A community isn't just about friendship and being friendly. That's probably like the starting point. But it's about having a deep connection with different members of the body. I talked about the generations before. You know, do we have connections with people in different generations? Across demographics, stages of life, experiences. A community is a place where people feel valued, connected, and able to contribute. A place where they feel like they belong. A place where they can share and be vulnerable, ask for help, and actually give support to others when they need it. A community is a group of people who pray together and believe for each other and champion one another along. You know, I've said that this has been my home for the last 7 years, and I came in with a group of friends initially, and it took me a wee while to come out of my shell, but when I did, and when I started connecting beyond just like my close circle of friends, when I started getting invited to people's homes for meals, when people asked me to look after their kids, a lot, nah, I love it. You know, my e-group girls became friends outside of Sundays or Wednesday night young adult nights. And when I was brave enough to reach out and ask for help and support for prayer, and I received it, that's when this place became home and became the community that I was a part of. You know, community is a powerful thing. Like, I stand here as the product of a community, of a group of people who are committed to championing me along in my walk with Christ. You know, I walked in here a shy, awkward, anxious 20-year-old. I grew a little bit and I nearly stepped fully out of the nest and leaving Dunedin. But at that point, I wasn't sure that my faith would stand if I did. And I felt God call me to stay. So that now, at 27, when I stand here, ready to embark on a big OE, I know that my faith will stand the test. I know that my faith is the foundation that I walk on. And it's because I've been surrounded by people who have committed to investing in me, to encouraging me, to lifting me up and pointing me back to Jesus. So I guess the question for all of us is, how are you committing to community? Is there something that's holding you back? Are you just watching from the outside? Or are you ready to step in and participate? You know, maybe it's joining an e-group, asking someone out for coffee, going and playing a sport or doing some kind of activity. Maybe you need to be brave and reach out when you need help. But as we be a part of community, people will lift you up. And it is that revelation that we are the body of Christ that God wants to reawaken in us. So now that we know that we are the body of Christ, how do we act and live out the body of Christ? To reawaken is to have a revelation of God's love for people that leads us to servanthood. You know, as the body of Christ, there's a sense of belonging, but there's also an acting out that we are like the hands and the feet of Jesus. And that as we join together in faith and love for Christ, that leads us to a response. As we have a revelation of God's love for us and for other people, it leads us to move, to act. You know, we all have our part to play. For me, like having the part to play speaks of, or serving, but like building the house. You know, building the house for people to come in and experience God. There's a story in Numbers 4, actually, which goes like way back. And I'll try and give a bit of backstory, but it's about when the Israelites are in the desert. They're wandering around for 40 years, trying to find the promised land. But in that time, there's a whole bunch of tribes and clans and all that. And they're carrying around the presence of God in like the tabernacle, which is like a tent place. And there's a story in Numbers 4 just about how the different clans were, what their roles were in the tabernacle. And I love this bit about the Merarite clan. I don't know if I said that very well. When the Israelites were wandering around, they'd get to a place and they'd set up camp and they'd have to erect the tabernacle. But if we read in Numbers 4, 31 to 32, it says, "The only duty at the tabernacle will be to carry loads." This is this one clan. "They will carry the frames of the tabernacle, the crossbars, the posts, and the bases. Also the posts for the courtyard walls with their bases, pegs, and ropes, and all the accessories and everything else related to their use. Assign the various loads to each man by name." So the Merarites were responsible for carrying like the tent pegs, the poles, the things that would not be noticed or commented on. You know, some of the other clans were carrying like the curtains and the ornaments, you know, like screens and lights and stuff that make the tabernacle look really cool. The Merarites are just carrying around some tent pegs for 40 years in the desert. But who's been camping before in the stormy wind and you know that the tent pegs keep the tent nailed to the ground, doesn't get blown away. You know, for the Israelites, carrying the tent pegs meant that they had a place of worship where they could encounter God. And it was a big part, like an important part of their community. You know, today we're really lucky that we don't have to like do a full setup every Sunday. That we don't have to put up a tent or carry things around. But we still have to prepare the house. We still have to build the house. There's still people coming into the house to encounter the presence of God. So what are the tent pegs that you guys are carrying, that we're all carrying? You know, maybe it's putting out the chairs, remembering how many and what angle they go on. It's a skill. It's a real skill. You know, maybe it's vacuuming the foyer, making the food in the kitchen, looking after the kids. Maybe it's just the person who unlocks the door 8 a.m. every Sunday morning, turns on some lights, the coffee machine, welcoming people at the door. You know, whatever it is that you do to build the house, it's significant and it's important and it's needed. and it's making a way for people to come into the presence of God. One of my favourite ways to serve, and I've served on quite a few teams here, but one of my favourite ways is when we're like packing in, which is kind of like putting the tent pegs in the ground, but packing in for like an event or a camp or something. And I just love it because I know that that we're creating spaces for people to come and encounter the presence of God. You know, sometimes I'm standing there like not really sure what I'm doing in serving and being there. But this year, I feel like I got upgraded and I got entrusted with a wrench or a spanner. And I was able to screw the lights onto the truss. I know, it seems like a little thing, but I felt really cool about it. Ben doesn't agree. But you know, it's these little things, like just little ways that it seems kind of insignificant. You probably look at the lights and you're just like, oh yeah, they look cool. Maybe even thought about how they got there. I'm not saying will me, but you know, it's just like in these little ways, you're serving in the house, you're setting up spaces. But it's about having a posture of your heart and an attitude of love for people. You know, for people to carry around tent pegs for 40 years in the desert, I feel like you'd have to have a pretty good, like, God, I'm doing this for you. You know, it would be easy to think that it was irrelevant or insignificant. To have a bad attitude about it. To feel overlooked or undervalued when no one comments on how well the tent's put up. But they carried those tent pegs for the glory of God for 40 years. So again, how are we building the house? And what is our attitude towards it? Do we have a revelation of God's love for us? Or do we need to reawaken that in our spirits? You know, what's the unique gift that you could bring to serve the house, the body of Christ? Or maybe who is someone that you could invite to come and serve alongside you? I'm going to invite the band up to join me. Just got a final point. To reawaken is to have a holy reverence for God. A holy reverence means to have a deep respect and sense of awe of who God is. It's an integral part of our worship and our devotion to God. You know, worship is a part of our everyday life. If you read in Romans 12:1, particularly in the Message version, it says to take our everyday going around, eating, sleeping, going to work life and to place it before God as an offering. You know, in just the ordinary small things that we do, we can have a holy reverence for God. But there's also a call for us to come together corporately, together and worship God, to lift up his name, to be a community who praise and praises his name and collectively participates in his work here on earth. In 1 Corinthians 6, it says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God?" And in 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, it says, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you. God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." The temple is the dwelling place of God, of his presence. And sometimes we can read that as you, singular. And yes, God lives in you. But in the original Greek, it's you, plural, you all. That as we all come together, God is here in this temple. You, the body of Christ, are the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. You know, I love worshiping and singing together. I love doing it on my own, but I love when we come together. I love looking out when I'm playing keys or something and seeing everyone worship. Or I love looking beside me, like the other day, and I see a child just standing there worshiping. Such childlike faith, but such awe and holy reverence for God. Let's not forget or neglect to meet together, to come together corporately, to worship God, to lift our eyes off ourselves and fix them back up on God. God is calling us to reawaken something in our spirits, calling us home to the church, to be the body of Christ. It is through having a holy reverence for God that faith in us can bring a sense of urgency to reawaken us. He's calling us to arise and participate in what he is doing. The question is, are you willing to be reawakened? To have something within you reawakened? Maybe it's dreams, passions. Maybe it's something you've put down and God's calling you to pick it back up. Or are you willing to rise up for the next generation, to bring God's light into the dark places, to prepare the ways for others to come to faith? You know, through pursuing intentional community, cultivating a heart to serve and build the house, engaging in worship corporately.
Thank you for listening to this message recorded live at Equipus Church Dunedin. We pray that it blessed you. For more information, please check out equipuschurch.com.